Hi, I'm Stephen Scott, and this is a podcast from The Daily Connect. Thank you so much for downloading it. Now, there has been a lot of controversy in the blind community after the chair of RNIB, Ellie Southwood, posted a blog on the Huffington Post website talking about how she was pleased to support actress Natalie Dormer in her role in the new movie In Darkness. Natalie Dormer approached RNIB for advice after it was decided that she would take on the role in the movie that she had written. RNIB offered support and advice to her, but that did not come without its controversy. Joining me now to talk about this is the chair of RNIB, Ellie Southwood herself, Amy Bethan Evans, a partially sighted playwright, and Josh from Extant, who also caused their own controversy after rewriting Ellie's blog, changing out the word blind for black, to, in their view, highlight how wrong Ellie was in her decision and RNIB's decision to support Natalie Dormer. Ellie, let's start with you. Why did you write the blog in the first place?
One of the things that sort of triggered the blog, if you like, for me was I had this memory of being, I think, probably 12 or 13 and watching something with my parents in the evening. I think it was a sort of well-known sitcom at the time, and there was a blind character in it. And it was pretty clear that the portrayal of this blind character had been nowhere near somebody who actually couldn't see. And the experience of that was just really, depressing. It perpetuated all the stereotypes. It was all the myths. You know, she was, you know, sort of flailing her arms around aimlessly, falling over things, you know, obviously the butt of all the jokes because she couldn't see. And I didn't want to go to school the next day because that's exactly of those outdated stereotypes of blindness are all about. So when, in this case, Natalie Dormer approached RNIB for some insights into the experience of sight loss for her film, I think RNIB did make the right call in providing some of that. And certainly the people who spent time with Natalie, I think, were incredibly generous with their time and experience.
So, Amy, you are a partially sighted playwright. You recently had some great success, actually, with your play Libby's Eyes. Tell us about what you've been doing to sort of convey the message of you know, getting blind people into these roles.
Well, the thing is, my play was parodying the PIP system. And I had an audio describer that was non-disabled, but wanted. But the character of the audio describer was an exaggerated version of the actress, and she was showcasing herself. The joke is never on blindness itself. The characters are characters who are blind. They have the same things that make them funny or angry as any other kind of character. And it's a sci-fi, and it really goes for the government, basically. That was kind of the point of it. It's a political satire. I used two visually impaired actors because I had two visually impaired roles, and I did it on hardly any budget at all. And I really wanted to write this play to challenge perceptions of blind and partially sighted people. The theatre that I did it at had never hosted a visually impaired accessible play before. The RNIB were really helpful in promoting it. We even did it in association with you. There were so many blind and partially sighted people that came to see it. The Bunker learned loads about making things VI accessible. That's figured into their wider practice. They were absolutely brilliant. And, you know, to have all that support from you, and to have all of that wonderful event happen, and, you know, and people sending us emails saying this play was about me and for me and made me think I could act, and then to wake up to read an article about how we should be helping Natalie Dormer play blind because there aren't any blind actors, just felt like a massive kick in the teeth. And I was really upset, and so were my cast, and so were a lot of my other visually impaired actor friends.
Okay, Ellie, do you want to respond to that?
Sure. I mean, I completely appreciate the frustration, and the play sounds fabulous. I certainly don't think there's anything in my blog to suggest there aren't talented blind and partially sighted actors. There definitely are. I mean, I've loved particularly some of the previous work Extant have done. You know, I've seen incredible actors, and you know, I think we would all agree probably that, you know, it's way high time that we saw more blind and partially sighted people on screen, off screen too, and also characters who perhaps originally didn't have a disability, but for whom, you know, once the casting directors agree that a blind or partially sighted actor is the most talented, that they then build that in. We definitely have a massive issue with casting decisions. In this case, In Darkness would have been made in any case. And I think the question for us was, you know, and I guess the reason I say I think RNIB made the right call was, I'd far rather it had some input than it didn't.
That certainly did seem to be the thrust of what I read in your blog, Ellie. But I think to Amy's point, the concern is that if we're not supporting or at least seen to be pushing for more blind actors to take on those blind roles, that if we don't push for it, it just won't happen, that we'll always have sighted people taking on these roles, as, you know, in the case with the wider disabled population.
I agree 100%. And, you know, I think, you know, I understand why, you know, obviously for you, Amy, you know, it's, you know, the timing in particular, you felt like a real kick in the teeth. And there's fantastic work going on across the arts, you know, with disabled people, including visually impaired people. I think in this case, as I say, I think In Darkness would have been made, whether RNIB had engaged with Natalie or not. And I think, you know, it's a sense of relief, really, that she'd reached out to us, as many people haven't done, you know, in portraying blind and partially sighted characters. So I think, and hope, and whilst I haven't seen the film, so can't comment on that, but, you know, I would hope that, you know, that experience did help to shape a more realistic character.
So is that the point, Amy, that, you know, when it comes to this movie in particular, that Natalie Dormer was going to be the character anyway? There wasn't much or anything that RNIB could do about it. So, you know, shouldn't RNIB support that person to make sure that there are no silly stereotypes or silly views that are put across of blindness?
Absolutely not, because by supporting them, Natalie Dormer can now say that she's gone to the RNIB and that the RNIB have helped her play a blind person, which means people will look at that and say, well, the RNIB helped her do that. That must be because there aren't any blind actors. And that's hugely detrimental to visually impaired people. I grew up thinking I could never be an actor. There are loads of visually impaired people growing up thinking they can't be actors. And if they see that the way that Hollywood are doing it is sending sighted actors to consult with the RNIB, then they're going to think that that is how acting works and that it's not for them.
That would not be RNIB's position. So I know that lots of times in the past, we've definitely encouraged casting directors to look for blind and partially sighted actors first, because there are tons of hugely talented people out there. And, you know, I think this is a slightly different example, but, you know, we've worked with Expanse recently to collaborate with some casting for a campaign we're doing later in the year. You know, and an amazing choice of talent. So it isn't that the talent doesn't exist, and we would absolutely never support that position. I think in this case, you know, Natalie wrote the film, created the film, it was her creation. She was always going to play the lead character and had decided the character would be blind. And therefore, I think, you know, this is my personal view, that I would rather see a more realistic blind character where it allows me to focus on the film and whether the film and the story is any good, rather than being distracted by, you know, the excruciating experience we've all had of the lazy stereotypes and, you know, and myths that do a huge amount of harm when the general public see them.
At this point, can I bring in Josh from Extant? Because you have another angle to this in some ways, because you took the blog that Ellie had written and you had made one particular change, a couple of changes, I guess, but you'd made one particular change to the blog, and that was that you took the word blind out and you replaced it with the word black. Tell us your thoughts on that, why you did that.
Yes, yeah, so I read Ellie's blog on the Huffington Post during the day of its release, and over the rest of the day I just saw people in our network, Amy included, getting angrier and angrier, and they were speaking from a place of hurt, and they were asking what our take on the situation was. And I got in touch with my boss, Maria, who's the artistic director, the blind artistic director of Extant Theatre, and she suggested replacing the word blind with black. So I did that and made a couple of other changes. Because I genuinely believe that in 10 years' time or something like that, and frankly now, from a lot of people, this is going to be seen as bad as blackface was You know, this is cripping up, this is crip face, this is blind face. What we're doing here is, you know, what RNID, what RNIB did in being seduced by the relief of Natalie Dormer approaching them and the opportunity to do away with a lazy stereotype, they turned down a bigger opportunity, which was to say no and to call this out and to say, actually, this is wrong. There are loads of blind actors, and we'd rather be supporting them in these roles than supporting Natalie Dormer.
So if RNIB had said, you know, we feel uncomfortable about this and, you know, and we will not be engaging, I don't believe that would have made any difference to the film in the first instance.
Of course not. The film would have been made, but you would be in a position where you could say, look, we spoke for the majority here, a growing majority of people who have had enough of cripping up.
Well, let Ellie respond.
Sure.
I think that, you know, that is a fair argument. I guess I'm also thinking about the hundreds and thousands of blind and partially sighted people who are not part of a current network, or who may be just new to sight loss, and the damage that, you know, that could do. And we had an opportunity to limit that damage. And whilst it might have made RNIB feel better and so on, that actually the risk was too great. And I really hope that in 10 years' time, as Josh says, that any other blind or partially sighted actor who wants to play a blind or partially sighted character, or who wants to play a character who doesn't have a disability written into the script but could easily have one, that they are absolutely the first choice by any casting director and able to do that.
But can I just say, Ellie, you talk about the hundreds and thousands of people who are new to sight loss. I've been visually impaired my whole life. And, you know, it is a different experience to losing your sight. I will grant you that. But, you know, some of the actors I've worked with have lost their sight and they're feeling the same way. Since I've moved to London, I have been visiting the RNIB once a week and having training on how to get into employment. And for that, I have to give my CV. I have to assert myself as an equal citizen. And that's what the RNIB have been encouraging me to do. That's the confidence that they've been trying to give me. And it's now what they're saying I don't have the right to expect. They're saying that, so if I was going for another job, like if I was going to a job in recruitment and I was in for a job of recruiting blind people, and I went for that job and they gave it to a sighted person, and the RNIB are basically saying, until we get more blind people in recruitment, then we have to accept that sighted people can do things better. We have to accept that blind people are second-class citizens, that they have to wait patiently for their turn. And that just isn't how a social justice movement works.
Yeah, this is a thing. This line that RNIB took is weirdly patient. It doesn't make sense to me. This idea of challenging lazy stereotypes and being relieved when actors like Natalie Dormer come to you, that is surely the bare minimum, and we have to acknowledge that.
Ellie, I just want to ask, from your point of view, from this blog, was it written by you as you, or was it written as chair of RNIB?
Bit of both. So clearly RNIB had been engaging on this, and I, you know, learnt about that, and, you know, knowing that this is a major, you know, issue and concern, rightly so, as both, you know, Amy and Josh have quite rightly pointed out, felt that actually it's better to have this discussion than not to have it, because it is a massive issue. And I don't believe, I'm sorry if either Amy or Josh feels that there was anything in my article to suggest that I thought that was okay. That is absolutely not what my intention was. Only to, I suppose, slightly put the case for why I think RNIB was right on this occasion to engage with Natalie Dormer. Do I think it's right for blind and partially sighted people to keep losing out to sighted actors? No, not at all. And I absolutely would not have, you know, certainly that wasn't my intention.
Josh, can I just ask, from your point of view, was it helpful to this debate and to this discussion to start changing the terminology in the way that you did, because it kind of makes it a different issue. I think everybody knows what you were intending to do with it, but was it the right thing to change the word blind to black in that blog?
Yes. Yeah, I do. I think because they are the same issue. I mean, I really do believe that. I think, you know, this has been done before. I mean, just think of Orson Welles, like, playing Othello or whatever, you know, like, that was okay then, and it's not okay now. And I honestly think that's going to be the case with Natalie Dormer playing a blind woman or a woman who isn't blind but pretends to be blind. You know, this is dodgy stuff. And I think the way we handled it, yeah, it was provocative, but I think it is basically the same thing, and it draws people's attention to that who might otherwise have missed it.
Ellie, what was your reaction to that? I mean, did that surprise you, or were you, like Josh, thinking maybe this is another way of looking at this?
I mean, I've known of and been a huge supporter of Xtampus for many years. I totally understand the position, so the point being made that actually, you know, there surely are enough blind and partially sighted actors to be playing all the characters. I think I felt a little bit surprised at the approach. I felt it perhaps wasn't as constructive as it might have been, but it, on the whole, I think far better to have the discussion than not have it.
Well, it's fair to say that we're not going to get an agreement on some areas today, but can we agree on one thing together? That we all want disabled actors to be playing parts of disabled people on television and film. We all agree with that, don't we? That's the premise, right?
Yes, we do. And at Xtamp, we've started a program, a year-long program, that will help visually impaired performers through that crucial early stage of their careers. It's something we're really genuinely passionate about. And I think that passion is what informed the way we handled Ellie's article.
And we would absolutely, you know, I guess from an ID point of view, we'd love to collaborate with you on that project in any way we can, because there'll be people who don't know of you yet and people who, you know, we come across and vice versa. So we can work together.
Thank you.
We've got some togetherness on this. Fantastic.
Yeah,
Amy Bethan Evans, Josh from Xtand, and also Ellie Southwood, chair of RNIB, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thanks, everyone.
Cheers.
Well, if you enjoyed that conversation, there are plenty more to be had here on the RNIB Conversations podcast. While you're checking out the podcast, why not look at some of the other ones we've got? We've got RNIB Technology with RNIB Tech Talk. We've got Sports. We have got the Connect podcast itself, which is also where you'll find our weekly Connect program. All of that's available where you found this. We'll catch you next time on the show that really does get you talking. The Daily Connect, which you can listen to Monday to Friday, 10 till 12 midday on RNIB Connect Radio. Thank you for downloading this.